You know, when I get irritated, when I get offended, when somebody says something mean about me, nobody ever does that, but, you know, critics and things like I, if I start to get upset, I ask myself three questions. Number one, why am I angry? You need to know why. Number two, what do I really want out of this? And number three, how can I get it? And you will never get it by clamming up or blowing up.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue with a series called The Miracle of Mercy. In this series, Rick looks at how the mercy of God touches every aspect of our lives and the lives of those around us. In a few minutes, we're going to let you know how you can get the DVD study kit for this series. It's perfect for your personal Bible study time or your small group. So stay with us and find out how you can get yours. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part one of a message called Showing Mercy to Your Family.
You know, the sad fact is, sometimes the hardest place to show mercy is at home with the people you live with all the time. In fact, we're often harder on ourselves, harder on our spouse, harder on our children than we are on total strangers. What's wrong with that picture? That often we are more ungracious to our own family than we are to total strangers. Have you noticed this? You could be in a major argument in your home. And I mean, it's a knockdown, drag out fight. And the phone rings and you're at the top of your voice. You pick up the phone and go, hello? What just happened? So wait a minute. You could control your anger for a stranger, but you couldn't with somebody you're having a conflict with. We are often harder on our spouse, on our kids, than on anybody else. I'm not proud to admit this. I don't like this. But it bothers me. I don't know if it bothers you. It bothers me that sometimes we say the most ungracious things to those we love the most. Does that bother anybody else? Does that bother you that you can be the angriest or even the meanest to the people in your life you love the most? Maybe you can identify with what David said there on your outline, Psalm 101, verse 2. David says this, Lord, I want to live. I want to live a blameless life, but how I need your help, Lord, especially in my own home. Anybody say amen to that? Yeah, right. Especially in my own home where I long to act like I should. Now, you may think you're a very loving person. And love and mercy, of course, go together. The miracle of mercy is the miracle of love. You may think, man, I'm a great lover. I'm just so full of love. I'm a very loving person. Okay, let's just have a little quiz. So let's take a little quiz right now. How merciful, how loving are you with your family, really? Okay, how about this? When my spouse or my sibling or another family member gets some detail wrong while telling a story, do I A, interrupt them and correct them publicly, or B, say nothing and let it go, knowing I've done the same? Write down your answer right now. You may not cheat on this. God is watching. All right, okay, you know, you admit it, okay, it's more likely B, that you're not doing. It's more likely you're doing, interrupt them and correct them publicly, okay? How about this second one? When my spouse or my siblings or another family member keeps making the same mistake over and over and over, do I become irritated and angry at them or graciously forgive them and pray for them? Okay. You're two for two right now, okay? I can feel the humility in your life rising right now, all right? Okay, today's Worship Together weekend, we got our students with us. Welcome, junior high, senior high, I love you guys. Here's a good one for you. Number three, when my spouse or my sibling, that's your brother or your sister, or another family member, is getting more attention than I think they deserve, do I, A, feel resentful and feel the need to bring them down a notch? Brothers, sisters, or B, celebrate with them, which is the merciful thing to do. Okay, check one of those. Some of you are lying through your teeth right now. Okay, number four. Here's the fourth question. How merciful really are you with your family? When my spouse or siblings or another family member says or does something that I don't understand, I see what they did, but I don't know why they did it. Do I assume they have their best motivation for doing it? Or B, question their motivation and think the worst? I know why they're doing that. You don't even know your own motivation most of the time. How in the world could you possibly know your brothers or your sisters or your mothers or your fathers or your wives or your husbands? You don't even know your own motivation most of the time. Okay, and then here's the last question. Am I more polite with strangers or with my own family? Now, we have been saying that, I can see you're ready for the sermon now. Okay, yeah, okay, maybe I do need to work on this thing about mercy in my family. You know, we've been saying for weeks that mercy is love in action. Mercy is not a feeling. It's not an emotion. It's a behavior. It's a choice. It's a decision. It's something you choose to do. You choose to be merciful. And we've been saying for months that mercy is love in action. So whatever is true about love is also true about mercy. Now, that helps us out a lot because the Bible has a very famous chapter called 1 Corinthians 13. The whole chapter defines the meaning of real love. And in 1 Corinthians 13, it gives us 15 characteristics of real love. Real love is very different from the phony love you hear like about on the radio and songs and stuff like that. And if it's true of love, those same characteristics are true of mercy. They are the marks of mercy. And in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 8, God gives us the 15 characteristics of real love. And unless you're doing these things, you don't really love somebody. These are the characteristics of real love. Let me read them to you. They're there on your outline. Love is patient. So anytime I'm impatient, I'm being unloving. Love is kind. Anytime I'm unkind, I'm being unloving. Love does not envy. In other words, you don't want what somebody else has. Love is not boastful or proud. When I'm prideful, I'm not full of love. Love is not rude. Anytime I'm rude, I'm not being loving. Love is not self-seeking. It's not me first. Today, a lot of songs, love songs on the radio, they're not love songs. They're lust songs. Love is all about giving. Lust is all about getting. When you hear a song that says, give it to me. If you don't give it, I'm gonna take it. That's not love. That's not love. That's lust. Love can always wait to give. Lust can never wait to get. And if it's all about you, you know, you make me feel brand new. You make me feel like a natural woman. You make me, that's not love. That's about me. Love is not self-centered. Love is focusing on the other person. And then you say, I love you because of what you make me feel. That's not love. That's selfishness. That's selfish. It's I love you if, I love you because. No, love is I love you, period. Love is I love you in spite of yourself. Love is not self-seeking. Love is not irritable or easily angered. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil. This is real love. Love rejoices with the truth. You don't manipulate people when you love them. Love is always supportive. Real love always trusts. It is always hopeful. Love always perseveres, and love never gives up. Love never fails. It never ends.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, and you're listening to our series called The Miracle of Mercy. There's more coming up, so stay with us.
The Bible tells us that God's mercy heals broken hearts, reconciles relationships, and refreshes tired souls. Today, when you support this ministry financially, we'll send you the Miracle of Mercy 6-Session DVD Study Kit by Rick Warren. Perfect for you or your small group. It's sure to be the cure for every insecurity, worry, and fear in your life. Call 800-600-5004 to get yours or click PastorRick.com. Today is the last day to get this great resource, so don't wait.
Once again, here's Rick.
Now, these are the 15 characteristics of love. And I was tempted to do a message on all 15 characteristics. But then I asked Kay, who is a very wise woman, honey, what should the mother's message be? What do moms want to hear? What should this Mother's Day message be? She said, short. Because they're all going out to lunch. Okay? Very wise woman. Okay. So we're only going to look at four of these marks of love today. The first way we can show love in our home and in our family is by overlooking irritations and offenses. By overlooking, in other words, ignoring, not even paying attention to the irritations, the offenses. You're going to have irritations in life. Nobody has good days every day. And many families and marriages are buried with a lot of little digs and irritations and offenses. And yet the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13:5, love, real love, is not irritable or easily angered. Circle easily angered. Real love does not get angry easily. Now, anger is by far the most misunderstood human emotion. It's also the most mismanaged of all emotions. Anger is the most mismanaged emotion that we have. Now, anger is not necessarily a sin. Sometimes anger is the only appropriate response. There are some things you ought to get angry about. Anger is not a sin necessarily because God gets angry. God sees people getting hurt on the earth, he gets angry about it. The only reason you have anger is because you're made in God's image. There's a good kind of anger, there's a bad kind of anger. There's a righteous kind of anger, there's an unrighteous. There's an unselfish kind of anger that's based out of love, and there's a selfish kind of anger based on you hurt my pride. And that's wrong. It's not anger that's wrong, it's why you're angry and how long you stay angry. Long anger turns into resentment and turns into bitterness, and that's always a sin. But anger is a God-given capacity. When you see racial prejudice and racial profiling and bigotry in the world, you ought to get angry. When you see injustice and unfairness in the world, you ought to get angry. When you hear about a woman being raped or a child being abused, you ought to get angry. When you hear about Christians being beheaded by radical people in other parts of the world, you ought to get angry. In fact, if you don't get angry, if you never get angry, you're a vegetable, not a human being. Anger is a part of human life. And some things are worth getting angry for. You get angry out of love. If you hurt my grandchildren, I'd get angry. I'd get angry. And anger is a God-given capacity, but you got to learn to control it, and you got to learn to use it wisely. Managed anger is an asset. Every great leader in history has learned how to manage anger. And those who didn't, it was their downfall. They didn't, and the Bible says that's the problem. Now, the real problem is that a lot of you think you don't get angry because you stuff it. But that's just as inappropriate as expressing it incorrectly. There are two wrong ways to get angry. One is to blow up Mount Vesuvius, and the other is to clam up and stuff it in. Both of them are inappropriate responses of anger. Neither are correct. And you blow up your clan up. You're either the mute, you hold it in, or you're the maniac, you let it all out. You're either a skunk or you're a turtle. In life, everybody here is a skunk or a turtle. Skunks, when they get upset, they let everybody know it. They stink up the place. When a skunk gets angry, everybody knows they're angry because it smells. Turtles, when they get angry, they pull into a shell. Now, here's an interesting thing. I used to do marriage counseling. What I've discovered, skunks always marry turtles. So in your marriage, one of you blows up and one of you clams up. Count on it. And neither is the righteous one. And neither is more sinful than the other one. They're just both inappropriate ways of dealing with anger. Love is not irritable or easily angered. The Bible is very specific about the cost of uncontrolled anger. The Bible says in Proverbs it causes arguments. The Bible says it causes mistakes. The Bible says uncontrolled anger causes foolish things to happen in your life. And what is the antidote to harmful anger in your marriage and in your family? Love and mercy. The more you feel God's love and the more you feel God's mercy, the more you're going to show God's love and you're going to show God's mercy to other people. And love is not irritable or easily angry. The Bible says this, Proverbs 17, verse 9. Love forgets mistakes. So when you hold on to a mistake and you keep remembering it over and over, that's not loving. Nagging parts separates even close friends. Proverbs 19, 11. The Bible says, it is to your glory to overlook an offense. Circle the word offense. It is to your glory to overlook offense. It is to your credit. It shows your maturity if you can overlook offenses. People who get offended at everything are immature. People who don't get offended at everything, they just let it slide. They overlook irritations. They overlook your offenses. That's a mark of emotional maturity. If you're always getting your feelings hurt, you need to grow up. You need to grow up. Because that doesn't mean that that's not legitimate. Maybe they really are hurting your feelings, but you need to learn how to overlook an offense or you're gonna be unhappy all your life. You know, when I get irritated, when I get offended, when somebody says something mean about me, nobody ever does that, but you know, critics and things like if I start to get upset, I ask myself three questions. Number one, why am I angry? You need to know why. Number two, what do I really want out of this? And number three, how can I get it? And you will never get it by clamming up or blowing up. You're never gonna get what you want in your marriage. You're never gonna get what you want in your family, in your relationships, with your friends or anybody else, if you use these blow up or clam up alternatives to anger. Love is not easily angered. Now here's a good verse. Look at this next verse. 1 Thessalonians 5:15. Be careful. I love this in the Message paraphrase. Be careful that when you get on each other's nerves, you don't snap at each other. Look out. Look for the best in each other, the Bible says. Look for the best in each other and always do your best to bring it out. You know, if we would just memorize that verse, everybody in our church family, and we'd practice it for a year, we'd be a whole lot happier. We'd have a whole lot better relationships, better marriages, better friendships. Look out for the best in each other and always do your best to bring it out. All right, let's go to the second way you can show mercy to your family. Number two, by being kind when they don't deserve it, but they need it. By being kind when they don't deserve it, but they need it. Now, in every family, we have what I call VDPs. Now, when I talk about family, I'm not just talking about mom and dad and kids, a nuclear family. I'm talking about your brothers and sisters, your moms and dads, your aunts, your uncles. Everybody has an extended family. And in that extended family, you have some VDPs, which I call very draining people. Now, don't look at them right now, but you know who they are, okay? There are difficult people, and difficult people are hard to work with. They're irresponsible. They're immature. There are demanding people. They're pushy. They're self-centered. They always want everything their way. They're aggressive. They're often rude. Difficult people, demanding people. There are destructive people. There are people who are abusive. In relationships, and they hurt everybody, and they're manipulative. And then there are disappointing people, and those are people in your family who break their promise. And they tell you they'll do something they don't, and sometimes they're disloyal, and you can't depend on them. They're disappointing. And how do you deal with these kind of people? The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 and 7. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is always supportive. Are you always supportive? You always supportive of the people, whether they deserve it or not? You say, well, how can I be more patient? How can I be more kind? How can I be more supportive? Well, here's the answer. Next verse, Proverbs 19, 11. A man's wisdom gives him patience. Now, here's the key. If you want to be patient with anybody, learn more about what makes them tick. Because if you understand their fears, you're gonna be more patient with them. If you understand their hurts, you're gonna be more patient with them. Hurt people hurt people. Anytime somebody's hurting you, it's because they're hurting. We don't just automatically hurt other people. You hurt people when you are hurting. Other people hurt you when they are hurting. And if you understand their hurt, you're gonna be a lot more patient with them. You look past the anger and look at their fear. You look past their anger and you look at their pain and you go, oh, you cut them some slack. Like the people you work with, they're people you work with, you just go, that person's a VDP, very draining person. And if you actually knew where they've come from, you'd be a lot more patient with them. You see, when we look at people, we always go, look how far they've got to go. But instead of saying, look how far they've come. And if you knew, well, man, if I had their parents, I'd probably be messed up too. If I had that situation grow up, I'd probably be full of pain. I'd probably be more insecure. When you have wisdom, when you understand why people do what they do, you're a whole lot more patient with them. You're much more patient with a toddler because you understand them better than they do. And so you can be patient with them. A man's wisdom gives him patience. Now the Bible says in Proverbs 3:27, whenever you are able, do good to people who need help. Circle the word need. It doesn't say do good to people who deserve help. There are a lot of people in your life, and particularly in your family, they don't always deserve your kindness. They haven't been kind to you. But you give them what they need, not what they deserve, which, by the way, is what God does with you. God doesn't give you what you deserve. God gives you what you need. That's called mercy. And when you're being merciful, you give your kindness to people when they need kindness, even though they've been rude to you, even though they've been mean. They come home, and they've had a really tough day, and they start taking it out on you, your response is to start defending yourself instead of going, they had a tough day. I'm just gonna be kind to them. They don't deserve it because they were just rude to me. I didn't cause their bad day, but they had a bad day and they're taking it out on me. And you just be kind to them anyway. Earlier in the series, when we did the first small group, we talked about the Samaritan, the Good Samaritan. If you're driving down the road and you see somebody on the side of the road and they're bleeding to death, you don't go up to them and say, do you deserve my help? No, you just help them. You don't say, was this your own fault? You don't say, did you cause this? You don't say, are you here legally? You don't say a lot of things. You just help them. That's called mercy. Mercy doesn't say, do you deserve it? Was it your fault? Could you help yourself? No, you just help them. Which, by the way, is what God, as I said, does with you. Now, the Bible gives a lot of reasons for being kind, and I won't go into all of them. I did once a study through the whole Bible. The Bible says you ought to be kind because God's been kind to you. He's kind to you every moment of your life. You ought to be kind because kindness is an act of worship. When you're kind, God says, that's like worshiping me. Kindness makes you happy. The Bible says kindness makes you attractive. Did you know that? Write this verse down. Proverbs 19:22, kindness makes a man attractive. So forget the Botox, just be nice.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, and you're listening to our series called The Miracle of Mercy. If you'd like to have these powerful Miracle of Mercy lessons on video, complete with a 6-session DVD and workbook, then be sure to request the Miracle of Mercy study kit when you contact us. This is a great way to go deeper in your study of God's Word. It's perfect for both personal and small group study time. And it's yours when you support this ministry with a financial gift. Get yours right now by calling 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004. Or go to PastorRick.com. That's Pastor Rick with two R's in the middle, .com. Today is the last day to get this great Bible study tool, so don't wait. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
Thanks so much for listening today. I want you to know what a personal blessing it is to me to be able to teach you each day. But I also want you to know, as a pastor, that I am concerned that you find a local church home. Listening to this broadcast is not enough to grow. You need to be in a local church family where you can do the 58 one another's of the New Testament. Love one another, care for one another, help one another, encourage one another, share with one another, greet with one another, and on and on and on. That's the mutual ministry of the body to itself. You can't do that just by listening. You've got to be a part of a family. Thanks for listening, and join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.